Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we are on the shortest day of the year, winter solstice. From here, the days get longer. Before you know it, the countdown to pitchers and catchers will start at spring training down in Florida and Arizona. I would say the first sign of spring comes today on the shortest day of the year. And once again, those days will gradually get longer. And then before you know it, the boys of summer will be back at it. And one of the guys who covers the home nine for the Star Tribune, Phil Miller, joins us. Phil, good to visit with you. It's been a while.
It has, Steve. We haven't missed a whole lot, but it has been a while, and you make it sound like it's just around the corner until we get started.
Well, it goes really quick, though. You get through the holidays into the new year, and then you kind of have Twins Winter Caravan, an annual tradition, and then Twins Fest now at Target Field. I miss the Dome, by the way. I love Twins Fest at the old Metrodome. It was a perfect venue for it. And then you're getting ready to head south.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't take long. And we're also – January is also when the Twins start to make moves, which is I think their fans are noticing or reminded this year that they don't do much in November and December. And it's been a really quiet couple of months outside of the off the field stuff, and I'm ready to start thinking about the roster again.
Yeah, and before we get into that, and a player who signed over in the NL with the Phillies and Max Kepler, we'll get into that momentarily. But I do want to touch on the hot story as of late, and that is the ownership, because I think a lot of Twins fans were caught by surprise when the Poled family announced that they would explore a sale of the club, and it sounds like there is at least one suitor that we're aware of, part owner of the Phoenix Suns, and that's been widely reported. And I would assume early in the new year we're going to hear more about that or other suitors.
Yeah, I think that the pace will pick up there. I've heard that there are others that have made inquiries about the team. I'm a little surprised that we have that nobody locally has stepped forward. I think the Poled family had maybe hoped that there would be some Minnesotans involved in exploring a purchase, and maybe there are, but I really do think we'd have heard it by now if there had been. But one thing team sale attorney told me as this got started was that baseball is hot and there's only one team for sale. There have been a lot of inquiries about the White Sox, but Jerry Reinsdorf has been quiet. And he thought that there would be several bidders because it's a sport that, despite some of the uncertainty about the finances of it, it's a sport that that the opportunity to buy in is pretty rare, and that there might be some. So it is interesting that we've only heard one, although I have heard that there have been a couple of other inquiries.
Now, Phil, is this a deal that once it's announced, or we get an idea that there are several suitors, that something could come together relatively quickly, that a new owner could be in place as soon as, say, opening day?
I think we will probably know the identity of who the new owner is going to be by opening day. The baseball owners have meetings in, I believe it's February, and then again in April. And purchases have to be approved by the other team owners. I would be surprised if the sale is all done and the keys have been turned over, but I do expect that we will know who the Poleads intend to sell to by opening day, which is still, by the way, 3 months off.
And the one thing I think fans are hoping for is that, and that was kind of the people associated with the Phoenix Suns, and one of the things they came in is spent a lot of money on free agents and made a big splash. And, you know, the hope is that the new owner or the new ownership group would come in and spend a lot of money on free agents. Problem is, they won't be in place to impact this upcoming season.
No, probably not. But I don't think the Twins would have been big spenders this offseason anyway. Maybe some of the pitchers, but they're pretty good. They feel pretty good about their pitching staff, and you know they weren't going to spend $700 million on Juan Soto. So I don't know that that is going to be a huge problem for them. I think they thought they were set up pretty well for the upcoming season, regardless, which is another reason why they've been so quiet. As for the Ishbia brothers, if their philosophy has clearly been spend money to make money, that's an important factor in baseball too. With 81 home games, you want to sell a lot of tickets, and the Twins kind of turned off some of their fans last year by taking a step back. By they were never in first place after April, and I think fans understandably would like to have an ownership that will spend a little more, that will understand, maybe breaking even on the business side isn't quite so important to them in this era of salaries keep going up. But the Twins are operating on a loss of some $50 million in TV revenue with the loss of their TV contract. So teams fans should want that not to be such a big deal. The nice thing is owners coming in will have factored that into their plans already.
Phil Miller joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Covers the Twins for the Star Tribune online at startribune.com. We did have a move, not unexpected. Max Kepler was a free agent and signed with the Phillies.
Interesting that they're going to play him in left field, because Max is very, very, very much a creature of habit. He made it clear that he did not like moving to center field as he used to earlier in his career. I'm really interested in how Max will be remembered here. It was interesting to see the Carl Anthony Towns, the ovations he got last week, and the boos that Kirk Cousins got. Now, Max Kepler was never as big a part of his team as much as those guys were. But I wonder how Twins fans will regard him when he comes back. He was the Twins, when they signed him, the best player they'd ever seen in Germany. He was going to be a star. He developed pretty quickly. And in 2019, I thought maybe he is going to be a perennial all-star. He had his best year. But overall, he never reached those heights again. He's kind of been on the decline. Injuries have taken their toll. And overall, I'd say it's a pretty mediocre career. I think he was a borderline average player most of the time. I think he'll probably be pretty well regarded around here, but he never quite lived up to the billing that he got as he was coming through the system.
Every team deals with injuries, and going into the 25 campaign, eventually the page will be turned. I think Twins fans in general are very disappointed in what transpired in 2024, and rightfully so. But if you look at this club from the outside looking in, and I visited with Bob Nightingale, who's covered the game for a long, long time and works for USA Today in his Odyssey MLB Insider and joins us from time to time. He says, you look at the makeup and some of the pieces in the bullpen and some of the pieces in the starting rotation and then some of the guys in the everyday lineup, this is not a bad ball club. There's a good core group there, and the key word being when healthy. And I think any team can say that.
It is true, and they're probably their two biggest stars, Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton, were hurt by injuries again last year. But the point is, just about every player on that team, you would forecast to have a better season than last year. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. But Carlos Santana and Kyle Farmer and some of those guys are the older guys are gone. Everybody else is in their prime, approaching their prime, or in the case of Correa and Buxton, coming off injury seasons. That if they can stay healthy. They got their young pitchers, some good experience last year. The bullpen is going to be a real team strength. As disappointing as last year was, even without any moves, and I think they probably will make a couple to probably add another right-handed bat, I think you can project just about everybody in the lineup and everybody on the pitching staff to get better. Now we see if it actually happens, but the development curve, it's a young team and the development curve is in their favor.
Yeah, and that's the thing that stuck out when I visited with Bob Nightingale, and we talked about ownership, obviously, in the group, and from the outside looking in and other people he had talked to in the game set, they're still really a good core group, and it gets back to ownership, that the ownership would look at the situation and say, you've got the ballpark, you have an established franchise with a great ballpark, most list top five ballpark in the big leagues, and the cupboard is not bare. Now, there's got to be concern about Carlos Correa, and there were those rumors that maybe the club would entertain trade offers for Correa, but Wainwright, still an outstanding shortstop and still one of the better players in the game.
He was the best player on the team in the first 3 months of the season. When his second bout with plantar fasciitis came about midseason, it really, really changed the team's outlook, the team's energy, and boy, it sure changed the lineup. I would be surprised if they move him. I do think that they get they hear offers for him, but he really is the linchpin, and they really saw last year what he brings to the team, both offensively and defensively. It's entirely possible, outside of Christian Vasquez, it's entirely possible that Correa and Buxton will also be the oldest players on the team. And I think Buck just turned 31 a couple of days ago. Like I say, it's a very young team. I do think that there is reason for optimism despite next to no word of mouth in their favor this offseason.
And in the minor leagues, or do you see any players that maybe toiled at AA or AAA that are going to get more of an opportunity in 2025 at this point, Phil?
Oh, absolutely. And the name that I'm sure hardcore Twins fans know, but the name you should remember is Emma Rodriguez. He made it to AAA last year, and he had some hand injuries that that cost him about half of the year. He is Max Kepler's he's going to inherit Max Kepler's right field spot. I don't think it'll happen in out of spring training, but I would really be surprised if he is not on the team in the second half of the season. He has shown power. He has shown the ability to hit the ball over in his minor league contract, in his minor league career. He's 21 or 22, probably 22 by now. And he is, you know, I think he will surpass Max Kepler's career as a Twin when he finally gets here. Besides that, I think the other guys are mostly the pitchers. Some of them we saw last year, David Festa, I expect to make the team. We saw Zebby Matthews, Simeon Woods Richardson. Those guys and Emma Rodriguez are the are guys to really look for next year. I mean, they also have, you know, like Walker Jenkins coming up through the system, but he could make it to St. Paul this year. I think he's probably still 20, so it's probably a little earlier for him. But they do have talent in the minor leagues and a couple in the high minors.
Yeah, and just finally a thought on the division at this point. Wouldn't expect the White Sox to be that bad, but they have a long way to go to get back into contention. And then you have the overachieving Detroit Tigers. Can they repeat what they did last year? You had the Kansas City Royals with, you know, an outstanding MVP-type talent in their lineup. It felt like they overachieved a little bit a year ago, and I would expect Cleveland to be a stout competitor and right there. But there is no doubt the Twins have an opportunity in this division if they can stay relatively healthy to get to the postseason in 25, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, Cleveland has been pretty good the last 2 years, won the division last year, held out.
Yes.
Almost the entire way, but they're feeling the loss of TV money even worse than the Twins. I think they have the third from the smallest payroll in the majors now. Whether they can hold it together, whether they can get some of their injured pitching back, they seem set for a decline. Detroit, I don't understand why Detroit isn't talk about riding a wave. They came out of nowhere to make the playoffs. This is their opportunity to get the fans behind them and to make Detroit baseball a bigger story. And they have done just about as little as the Twins in the off season. I'm very surprised that they haven't. They're not as well stocked with prospects as the Twins, and I'm surprised that they haven't spent some money and tried to upgrade a little bit. They'll be good, but I don't know. I remain unimpressed with how they're responding to their sudden rise. And the Royals, they kind of did it with pitching and half a lineup. We'll see if they can repeat. A lot of things went right for them last year. It is definitely a winnable division from the Twins' standpoint.
Yeah, and I had mentioned their MVP caliber type player in Bobby Witt Jr. He is rapidly moving into the territory of a guy you want to see play. If he comes to town, and the Royals will be in town a couple of times this year, you got to get out and see this kid play. He is terrific.
Yeah, and he's definitely made Kansas City baseball worth watching again. One thing the Royals did was they signed him he has signed, you know, with player options and team options for the next decade. You know, the Royals invested, I think it's guaranteed like $116 million, but it could almost triple by the time he's done. I'm wondering if the Twins would consider anything like that with some of their, we'll see what Emma Rodriguez is going to be like, you know, some of their younger guys, if Festa breaks through or, you know, something like, Royce Lewis, you know, if he hadn't had the downturn last year, I'll bet they'd have came up with a contract to lock him in. But yeah, the nice thing about Witt is, you know, he's going to be at shortstop and in that lineup for a decade.
Yeah. And what a terrific talent. Well, Phil, always great. Once again, and happy holidays to you and your family, and hopefully we can visit again in the new year.
Okay, Steve. Have a good Christmas.
There he is. Phil Miller covers the Twins for the Star Tribune. Quick break. We'll come back. I know I'm in hot water. Late to the break. Lindsey Brown's probably not going to talk to me the rest of the day.
Oh, Steve, you know it.
Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks so much for joining us, and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and yours. By the way, Ravens lead the Steelers 17-10, moving late third quarter there, and Kansas City, they win again. They beating the Texans on a sunny day in Kansas City today, 27-19. KC now 14-1 with two to go in the regular season, and the two-time defending Super Bowl champs moving in on home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. And as we know, Philly, Detroit, and Minnesota all fighting it out for the potential of home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. And by the way, Matthew Collar will join Pete Najarian and Dave Schwartz tomorrow on the huddle about 11:30. He's going to be in the Emerald City in Seattle and preview that Vikes-Seahawks game coming up tomorrow. And by the way, that is in the 3:05 window, the late window on Fox. And Seattle, a 3-point underdog at home, and they're 8-6. Now, huge game for the Vikings, because now they have a division crown and potentially home field advantage in the NFC playoffs within their sights, thanks to the Lions' loss, and the Lions decimated by injuries. We all know the story. But for Seattle, this is a gigantic game as well for the Seahawks. When you look at their situation, they're fighting it out with the Rams for the NFC West crown, and beyond that, trying to stay alive. Because, you know, outside of Detroit at 12-2, Minnesota at 12-2, Green Bay at 10-4, you got Philly at 12-2. I already mentioned the Eagles, the Lions, and the Vikes all fighting it out for the top spot in the NFC. You got Washington at 9-5. This is a gigantic game for Seattle tomorrow against Minnesota. So playoff atmosphere for sure in a very tough road venue for the Purple tomorrow, and they are favored in that one. All right, let's get back to college football right now, get you up to date on the FCS. South Dakota will get beat. Montana State beating the South Dakota late in the game, 31-17. Montana State will play North Dakota State for the FCS title. The Bison beat South Dakota State in Fargo today, 28-21. Meanwhile, college football playoff. Earlier, Penn State beat SMU 38-10 in a Happy Valley. It is Texas all over Clemson, 31-10 in Austin. That is a 5-12 game there, and it is late third quarter. And then tonight, it is number 9 Tennessee at number 8 Ohio State, the Vols and the Buckeyes from Columbus. I'll take a look. I'll take a look at that game. All right, we got to get to a break. We have the weather. Kevin Lynch will join us from FanDuel Sports Network. We'll talk Timberwolves. What is going on with the Timberwolves? We'll do that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Huge football day, 2 NFL games, 3 games in the college football playoff as we narrow it down to the quarterfinals. By the way, in the NFL game underway right now, Baltimore and Pittsburgh are tied at 17. That is old school rock'em sock'em football. And right now we're going to talk Timberwolves with my good friend Kevin Lynch from FanDuel Sports Network. And Kev, good to visit with you, and Merry Christmas. I would assume you have all your shopping done. You're ready to go.
I wish. Yeah, I haven't really started. You know, the good thing about it, you know, yeah, I know it's, but just don't fret, my friend, because there is time left. But you know, at this point in my life, I don't have a lot of people to buy for. You know, so it's whatever I need to get done, I have the opportunity to do it, so I'll be fine.
All right. And you could always you could always just hand out the gift cards. I've kind of gone to that mode. Just get a stack of gift cards. No, not quite that bad.
So or some cash. Cash is kind of that's not a bad way to go either. So I know the gift card thing, good idea. It for some people, it's kind of maybe. And I'm not saying this is you, Steve. It can be kind of the lazy way out, you know, for some of the people that don't. But, you know, the thing is for me, Steve, when it comes to shopping, like I was at the Mall of America last week, and I walk in there, the Christmas spirit, Santa's there and everything. It should liven and energize people. I'm like 20 minutes in there, I'm exhausted. I want to go to bed. Yeah. I want to sleep. It just wears me out. So I just, as far as stamina and shopping, I'm just a wimp.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Now, I will do this. I will buy gifts for the folks I need to, and I'll get it done. But it's kind of like, and the feeling for me is, if I get my shopping done and everything's ready to go 2 or 3 days in advance, I feel like I completed my homework when I was back in school. It's like that feeling when, all right, my homework's done. I can go to bed, rest easy, get up, go to school, and know that my work is done. And
no, that's a sense of accomplishment. That's kind of what you know, one of these days, Steve, that, you know, I've spent all these, you know, I'm from here, and all this, Christmas to me is family time. But it's Minnesota, it's cold, and I've done that for so many years. One of these days, I'm gonna be laying on the beach in Honolulu or some exotic place, and I'm gonna start spending more and more Christmases under a palm tree, under a coconut tree, swimming in the Indian Ocean someplace, And that's going to be Christmas for me. I'm kind of getting tired of these traditional Christmas things. So
yeah,
that's just me.
Yeah, you've had your share. I'm in that boat too. I would love to go to the Caribbean, the South Pacific, wherever, and see what Christmas Day is like there. All right, on to the Timberwolves. Cat comes back, and it was for the Timberwolves just a nightmare. They didn't play well. The Knicks played great. Cat's homecoming, all Knicks the other night. That was a beatdown.
Yeah, a lot of boos, that kind of stuff. That was tough to watch. But you know, number one, it's just one game. The Wolves have been winning some games the last 2-3 weeks. So that was yes, it got ugly. Yes, there was some boos, da da da. But the Wolves have been playing better the last 2-3 weeks, and so I think they should hopefully they kind of continue. This is just an outlier game, and you can kind of move on from it. But and another thing too, Steve, Towns, I'm kind of happy for Karl Anthony Towns. He was on some bad Timberwolves teams for a long time. Now he's back home in New York. You know, he's from New Jersey, and who knows? You know, Boston's going to be pretty tough. At the end of the day, Milwaukee's going to be good, but the Knicks are going to be right there with those two teams, and I don't know if they're going to, you know, I would imagine the Knicks have a chance to go deep in the playoffs, so I feel good for him, and because he kind of carried the load here for the Wolves for a long time on some bad teams, so I like the guy. He's a good player, so you feel good for him, but the Wolves, yeah, let's move on from this game. They got Golden State tonight, and we'll see what the Warriors can do in this game.
Yeah, once again, Warriors Timberwolves tonight at Target Center, and then the Hawks in Atlanta on Monday. Then a Christmas Day tilt with the Mavericks, rematch of the NBA's Western Conference Finals a year ago, won handily by the Mavericks. And then Houston comes in, or I should say they're at Houston, a couple of games, actually three in a row against teams from Texas. Once again, at Dallas on Wednesday, at Houston on Friday, and then home to the Spurs on Sunday. So they got a lot of games coming up, Kev.
Yeah, it's I know that the schedule is getting tougher now.
Ooh.
You know, in the near future here. Houston's a surprise team, but they've got talent. And Udoka, their new coach, he's kind of a tough character. He's been through the wars a little bit when he was with the Celtics, so I'm looking forward to that Rocket game. I kind of want to get a look at Houston and see what they're made out of. And of course, you know, Doncic and Irving and those guys with Dallas is going to be a tough one. So the Wolves have just – they've been so – you know, this is what they do. They win a game or two. Everybody starts to feel good. Then they have a disappointing performance. And then they kind of go back and forth between – a step or two forward and a step or two backwards. And I just really hope that that's not the pattern. You know, teams get into patterns when you have 82 games, you know, throughout, you know, October through April. And sometimes you can't get out of that pattern. But the Wolves, if they don't get out of this back and forth of winning a game or two, losing a game or two, it's going to be a disappointing season, but hopefully they can figure it out and start stringing together some winning stretches. So we will see.
Yeah, and final thought before we let you go, Kevin, we run out of time, about Ant in his game. And he still is a young player, experienced. Clearly, they're building around Anthony Edwards, and rightfully so. But at times, decision-making at the end of games or the tendency to just come down and want to put up the three, when I still think he's so good on the dribble penetrate and can create so much out of that versus just spotting up and trying to knock down a three.
Yeah, I mean, it's I was kind of worried when the season started. You know, he was taking so many threes. I mean, he was leading the NBA in, you know, 3-point shots. And I get, you know, I kind of understand what he's going through. He's like he draws so much attention, and when he starts to rev up and try to get to the basket, he just gets crowded with defense, right? So he's trying to relieve that pressure a little bit by taking outside shots, but that you're right. I mean, he's got to find the balance between when to take some threes and then when to attack, because when he attacks, their offense is better, and that's going to be their struggle this year, I think, for the most part, is what they're doing on the offensive end of the court. I think defensively, for the most part, they should be okay, except for that Nick game the other night. But, you know, a lot of that comes from the scoring opportunities that Edwards can get and the driving opportunities, which leads to offense for teammates. So he's got to dance between that fine line of when should I isolate, when should I look for the three-point shot, and when should I get to the basket to score, but also to get offense for everybody else. And that's so important that Conley gets open threes from Edwards' drives, that Gobert gets some lob dunks from Edwards penetrating, and Jaden McDaniels the same thing. So just so many more positives will happen offensively when he's aggressive and looking to get to the basket. So, but it's not easy because, again, he gets so much attention that he'll turn the ball over because he's being overly aggressive getting to the hoop. So he's a young guy, but he's still trying to figure it out, and sometimes he does it well, sometimes he's still learning and makes mistakes. So yeah, it's going to be back and forth, I would imagine, a lot of this season for that.
You know, and I had this thought and have been kind of kicking it around and want to run it by you, and I really want your opinion on this. With the trade of Karl-Anthony Towns, all of a sudden, it's clear, as I mentioned a moment ago, Anthony Edwards is who they're building around. That, you know, Gobert is a max player, but, you know, Anthony Edwards is now the guy. Are we still seeing him adjust to that thought? Because before it was kind of him and Kat.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Both making big money and both in the prime of their career. And not to disparage Rudy Gobert and what he's done in his career, but now it's clear Ant's the man. And that's maybe part of what's going on, him trying to figure out how to be the guy.
Yeah, no, I think there's something to that. I mean, he's been able to, you know, when he got to the Wolves in 2020, you know, Towns was already an all-star.
Yep.
He had been an all-star a couple times, I believe, at that point. So that was that's a benefit for him, because Towns was still the guy for the main guy on the Timberwolves. And he came in and he started to ascend pretty quickly. So you could see it coming, but he always had the benefit of having his teammate who kind of was taking the pressure off him. And so, you know, the stress level that he was feeling was pretty low, and he was pretty happy, and things were going fine as he was kind of moving up the ladder. Yep. As far as a young, good player. But now Towns is gone, and now he's feeling – this is maybe, Steve, the first time we've seen Edwards stressed. Everything that they've thrown at him, he's handled it really well for the most part. And now he knows he's the main guy. Offenses are built to kind of corral him and shut him down, and that's led to some subpar games for him, and he's making some mistakes, and he's stressed about it, and Towns is gone. So he's got to grow. Anthony Edwards has got to grow up quickly, so we'll see how this plays out.
Well, Kev, always good to visit with you. Merry Christmas, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Appreciate it, Steve. Merry Christmas to you, and we'll speak soon. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Kevin Lynch, FanDuel Sports Network on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We'll put a bow on it, so to speak, here in a moment, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown and all our guests on the program, Doug Swinhart, Tech Talk Early. We had Steve Carney, we had Jess Myers join us, Phil Miller, Kevin Lynch. Quick update on the scores before we say goodbye. NFL, the late game today, Ravens lead the Steelers 24-17 in Baltimore. Earlier, Kansas City beat Houston 27-19. Chiefs now 14-1. Vikes at Seattle tomorrow, favored by 3 on the road. 3:05 start. The Vikes still have a chance for home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. Can you imagine? Really good stuff. Hey, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO.